The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello everybody. Welcome along to another Premier League preview with Ron Atkinson, Robbie Savage and Derek McGovern. Good morning, chaps.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We'll get straight into it. After an entertaining midweek of League Cup action, plenty of goals, players getting the pants pulled down and other things that you often see on a football pitch. We'll discuss that in a second. Tottenham versus Chelsea, first of all, though, is the opening game of the Premier League weekend at 12:45. Tottenham are 8-5. The draw is 11-5, and Chelsea are priced up at 6-4. Such is the way the media portrays things these days, that the crisis was just averted at Chelsea, I think, by a 2-0 win in midweek, and then going top of the Premier League last weekend. Arsenal are above them now, though, on 12 points. There's 2 points separating these two sides. I'm going to chuck a lot of stats at you because there's some interesting ones between these two. Tottenham have won 3 of the last 42 games versus Chelsea. They've conceded more Premier League goals to the Blues than anyone else, any other team. That's 38. And you look at Chelsea's record, only letting 22 goals in 21 games at White Hart Lane. But none of Chelsea's strikers have scored in the Premier League yet. Spurs have conceded fewer goals than any other team in European League's top five leagues. Only one, of course, against Arsenal. It's almost like something's got to give here, Ron. Is it maybe the changing of the guard? If Tottenham were to win this, would we see a slight changing of the guard?
Well, how many points clear? You say 2 points.
Tottenham got 12.
I thought it was a bit more than that.
Yeah, Chelsea got 10, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it'll still be the status quo afterwards. I think it looks a nap draw. And all those sort of goal stats, I don't think there'll be many goals in the game at all.
Mm.
In fact, you're looking at a no score, or at most one all. Because there's no question. I mean, you've also got the other thing is would appear to be a bit of animosity between the two managers. Neither of them will want, particularly Mourinho, won't want to get beat by somebody he considers his chief scout or his protege. And I think he'll go and do one of his jobs on them. You know, where they get, like they went to United and, you know, made sure that United didn't score. I think they'll do the same there. I think, for me, it looks an out-and-out nap draw.
Robbie, already we've had Moyes supposedly being under pressure. We had whisperings last week that Mourinho's under pressure. You've got some of the journalists, on Twitter saying, you know, his heart's not in it, he'll be gone by Christmas. I mean, there's such a knee-jerk reaction to someone who's just come into a new job with a new team. It's not like he's picked up from where he was when he left the team before, is it? What do you make of it at Chelsea at the minute?
The crisis was over last week. When they won, they went top of the league. Obviously, not top now, so I just think that the Mata situation is a strange one. Is it good management? Ron might know more than me about it. Is that good management, Ron, or is it poor management?
Well, I mean, to be fair, unless something's gone on before that we don't know about, in other words, unless Mata's come back and he's not been fit or he's kicked over the traces, because to be honest, I think he's been their best player for the last 2 years. At Chelsea, I think he's an outstanding player that I wish United or somebody like that could have snapped him up in the last window. I really don't know. I think signing people like Will.i.am and people like that has been a luxury that they shouldn't have indulged themselves. They had far greater priorities than bringing another, if you like, ball-playing, creative-type midfield player into the pot. The cutting edge, we've said all along, is it, Chelsea's biggest problem is going to be, will they have enough cutting edge against the best teams, i.e. have they got a striker, a Van Persie or somebody like that? I don't think they have at the moment. I think the three players that will sort of compete for the position, Torres, Barr and Eto, will score goals against weaker opposition. I'm not sure they're going to get many against the best.
I'm going to go 2-1 Spurs, and I'm going to go with Paulinho, first goal scorer.
Right. 5-1 anytime, 12-1 to get the first goal. And if you want to do the full shebang there, Robin, go Paulinho first goal and a correct score of 2-1, it's just 100-1.
Oof.
Worth a quid.
Actually, quite a big price then.
Yeah, it is really, because he's scoring goals, isn't he? He's got great movement, hasn't he?
Yeah. Derek,
it'd be interesting to see what Chelsea do. When they went to United, of course, he pretty much went for the draw. It'd be interesting to see if he does the same here.
Well, first you'd have to say, why are Chelsea favourites? You know, at Tottenham, okay, forget that. They've got a brilliant record against Chelsea, but this is a different Tottenham side. And Tottenham should be the favourite in this for me. I think they'll win this one. And the worry is what you just said, Lee, that Chelsea will go and park the bus like they did against Man United. Ron's right. He will desperately not want to lose against his one of his ex-proteges, Villas Boas. But I look at Tottenham's team now. They're just not a weak link. And we know where Chelsea's weak link is. Right in that forward line, they haven't got a forward worthy of the name. No reason why Tottenham should be a bigger price than Chelsea in this. Spurs all day long.
Really confident then?
Very, very confident. This could be my bet of the weekend.
Oh. Really? 8-5 the price for Spurs. And you're going, Ron, what are you going for?
A draw.
11-5. So we'll look at Swansea City's game next. Swansea City are playing Arsenal on Saturday evening. The prices then, we've got Swansea at 23-10. 11-5 the price for the draw. And it's 11-10 for Arsenal, who continue their great run. Not so much for Swansea, though. They dumped out of the League Cup midweek by Birmingham. Scored 3 goals against them. And Birmingham really got after them. Swansea looked all over the place at times.
In all fairness, I was at the game. They should have been 6 up at half time.
Swansea? Oh, yeah.
That Coney, the woodwork twice, he's shot. Yeah, he should have been out of sight. In all fairness, Birmingham scrapped very hard and did you know, in the second half they played ever so well, but first half he could have been out of sight.
So Arsenal continued that run. Didn't win the away game, of course, but got through on penalties against West Brom. Obviously, be an entertaining game this, Robbie, with the style of play that these two employ. Arsenal have scored goals in all the 5 Premier League games so far this season. Only team to do that. Late goals is a bit of a feature in this one. How do you expect it to go? Swansea get back on the horse here against Arsenal?
No, I think Arsenal go then and win. It could have been 4-0 up at half-time against Sunderland the other day. And then after Sunderland come back into it, it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, that wasn't it?
Mm.
Was that their last away game, Arsenal's?
Yeah.
I think they'll go then win. And I think the great bet here has got to be Giroud, last goal scorer, and 2-0 Arsenal.
I'll have a look at that.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, one special that your lads should put up for this, Lee, is which team is going to have more possession?
Yeah.
I mean,
you won't see so many passes until Gazzard is next on Celebrity Mastermind. I mean, it's going to be like what I expected the Liverpool Swansea game to be, which it was, which it didn't turn out that way. It's going to be pass, 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 and will there be any end product? I'd love to see what your odds compilers would go on this one. I think Swansea have been fantastic, you know. I didn't see the game in midweek that Ron was talking about, the Birmingham game, but I just think they've been sensational, and they are a big price to beat Arsenal here. I think Arsenal are still flaky, you know. Is that why Arsene Wenger bought all those Germans so they'd win on pens this week?
Yeah, must have been.
I think Swansea are just... What I've seen of them lately, the Valencia game, the Liverpool game, they've been terrific. No reason they should be such a big price. They're another contender for my bet of the week here.
Every one of them is going to be a better way. And if you take it, the 1-1 draw at West Brom, Ron, was the first time they haven't scored 2 or more goals away from home. 2 at Marseille, 3 at Sunderland, 3 at Fulham, 3 at Fenerbahce. Tremendous away form. If they win this, it'll equal their record of 8 straight away wins in the Premier League. Fascinating game, isn't it?
It is. I fancy Arsenal. I've got a lot more time for Arsenal than, you know, certainly than Derek has. Yeah, and particularly if Giroud's playing, that would be my only fear for Arsenal, if they lose their centre-forward, because, OK, they played people the other day who really you'd never really heard of, Bentner. Yeah, I fancy them. I think they're playing with a lot of spirit, and it's not just this year. I keep referring back. I think the key point for them was last year going to Munich and winning there. I think since then they've never really looked back, reverse against the Villa. Yeah, I fancy them to go there and win.
Robbie, was it 2-1 you wanted? Giroud last goal and 2-1?
2-0.
2-0, sorry. The price for that then is 35-1. That's last goal scorecast. Giroud to score last and Arsenal 2-0. Nice little price.
No, that's me bet of the week, and he's nicked it.
Stoke versus Norwich is the first of the 2 Sunday live games. Even money, Stoke. 9-4 the draw. Norwich 3-1. I'm chuckling because Derek's making disparaging noises in the background. Stoke continue their good start to the season. They weren't exactly fantastic against Tranmere in midweek, but got the job done. As for Norwich, well, they probably could have got away with a draw against Villa, but didn't. And so the season's not looking great. 17th, 4 points from their 5 games so far. And as we said, the manager's starting to get a little bit of stick. Got a good win in the end after extra time against Norwich, and they had to dig deep and come back from a two down there. So that shows plenty of character, Derek, doesn't it? But Stoke have got something about them this year, haven't they? They don't concede many goals, and that's been Norwich's major problem, scoring goals this season until that Norwich game.
Yeah, they've been disappointing, Norwich, the signings they made. I thought I was expecting better from them. And Stoke have surprised everyone the way they've played. They've, you've been reading the papers this week, Kenwyn Jones saying how happy the camp is after players would have left, he said, had Tony Pulis stayed in charge because he just weren't happy with the way they were playing. He thought they'd have been used to it after so many years there. But yeah, it's a new Stoke, and it, you know, they're not doing too bad. I have to say, even there's a little bit on the short side, though. You know, this comes under the banner I've been banging on about on this bulletin for years, Lee. You know, a Premier League side away against a bog standard side, and you're getting 3-1 for them. I mean, if Norwich were to win, would anyone be that surprised? I think 3-1 is worth about it. I'm going to go. I'm just not, because it's my big bet noir. 3-1 side, 3-1 away from home. I'm going to go for Norwich.
I didn't get your fader up in time, Ron, but you said yes, you would be surprised.
Would
you?
Yeah, I would actually. I think the biggest thing Norwich might have is the fact that he played his first game, didn't he, in the week, Hooper, who was basically bought to stick the goals away, and weighed in with a couple. So that would give them a bit of hope. I think it's, for me, Stoke would look at this fixture and think, oh, if we could have picked a fixture this weekend, this is the one we'd have had. Yeah, for me, Stoke, and I'm looking. I think they'll win to nothing.
Robbie, Stoke versus Norwich. I get a price for that.
I agree with Ron. I think Stoke 2-0 or 1-0 Stoke.
Stoke to win to nil is 2-1. Which, when you think about Norwich's scoring record, that sounds decent. And 2-0 Stoke is 8-1. They're tempting prices, those ones. Sunderland take on Liverpool at 4 o'clock on Sunday. Sunderland 4-1. The draw 12-5. Liverpool are priced up at 4-6. Sunderland have only scored 12 goals in their 24 Premier League meetings with Liverpool. 7 of Liverpool's last 9 goals have been scored by Daniel Sturridge, of course. All the chat about Suarez in midweek, it maybe looked a little bit off the pace, but still it was pretty much everywhere the ball was when they were attacking. So obviously such a major part of their team. Things have changed quite a lot in the last week, Ron, haven't they? Obviously, with Di Canio going and Kevin Ball stepping in, and you know, he's made it quite clear that he'd like to take over the job full time. And then you've got Gus Poyet talking to foreign radio saying he's close to getting the job. It's all going on there, isn't it? And they got that 2-0 win against Peterborough, which would have done the world of good, wouldn't it?
It will have done, and I think you'll find they'll certainly play with more life and more spirit. But at the end of the day, I think you're still looking at the same bunch of players who, even, you know, when Martin was manager, probably weren't good enough. I know he's brought in all those Italians and Altadeo and all those people, but the only thing you question a little bit, have Liverpool gone off the boil? I mean, if this had been a fortnight ago, this would have been nap of the week. But I think Sunderland will play with a lot of spirit. The crowd will be behind them. I think Liverpool will do well to get a draw out of it. I think a draw is probably the most likely result.
Robbie, which way would you go on this one?
I'll go Liverpool. I just think that I thought they were unlucky midweek, to be fair, against United. United made more changes than them, but I thought they were very, very unlucky. The thing that couldn't, you know, if Sturridge had a right foot, he'd be a world beater. I think he could possibly be absolutely fantastic player, but if he had a right foot, some of the chances he got the other night, you know, if he could just shift it onto his right foot and shot with his right foot, you know, I think Liverpool would have won that game. Henderson as well, the ball seemed to get stuck under people's feet in the box. They just couldn't sort their bodies out. I thought Liverpool were lucky tonight, and I think they'll go there and win. I really do. I think 2-0 as well. Liverpool 1-0, I will for.
Got the price for that. Derek, were you impressed by Liverpool against Man United?
Yeah, well, I thought Suarez was absolutely... I mean, I've said this every time I see him play. He was just, he's just an unbelievable player. And the difference he brings to Liverpool is incalculable. That said, 4-6 is a bit on the short side for an away win for Liverpool, isn't it? Because they haven't been that... Well, they went before the United game, a second-string United team, by the way. They weren't that impressive against Swansea, I didn't think. Liverpool will probably win this, but I can't back them at 4-6 away from home. And Ron's right. If Di Canio was still in charge, yeah, Liverpool all day long. But you've got to expect an improved Sunderland performance than that now that the manager's gone. If they're as bad still now as they were under Di Canio, well, the players, you know, have got to hold their hands up and say, yeah, we're crap. You've got to expect a better performance. I'm tempted. You know what, Lee? I'm going to go for Sunderland with a start. You probably get something like 11 to 10. Sunderland with a goal start, something like 11 to 10.
Yeah, plus one goal for Sunderland's 5-4.
5-4.
The match special there. If you think Suarez will get one in this game, Suarez to score and Liverpool to win 7-4. Hit the bar, of course, with that free kick, didn't he? Which was deflected off the wall. So he didn't look too far off the pace, to be fair to him. And of course, Mignolet playing against his former side here. So expect him to feature in some form or other. Next up, let's have a look at Everton versus Newcastle. This is on Monday night. 4-7, the price for Everton. The draw is 14-5. Newcastle priced up at 4-1. Well, Newcastle got past their cup, which could have been a banana skin, I suppose, against Leeds United, winning relatively comfortably. Could have been easier as well, beating Leeds. Leeds didn't have an awful lot going forward, so probably wasn't that great. Everton, a bit of a shock, I suppose, in midweek. A bit like Liverpool, really. They, you know, haven't got Europe to contend with, so could have made a real fist of the League Cup and got beat by Fulham after taking the lead as well. Everton have been the star performers so far, Derek. You've been the most surprising thing is how complimentary you've been about them. Unbeaten in the league, of course. And they've got a good record against Newcastle. Lost just one of the last 10 games against them at Goodison Park. Winning 6 and drawing 3. Do you expect more of the same?
Well, it's like the Liverpool fixture. What result do I expect? I expect an Everton win. Would I back them? No, because they're too short. Very, not taking any chances, are you? I think your odds can pile. There's nowhere more the money's going to go, and they can go as short as they like, and the money will still pile on Everton. You know, will Newcastle ride the wave after winning in midweek? Yeah. I mean, you know, you've got to say, you look at the Newcastle team, and there is talent there. They should be doing an awful lot better than they are. They're going to turn things around, you expect, Newcastle. Is it worth taking a chance on Monday at 4-1? You know what, I just think they're overpriced. I think they're slightly overpriced. Yeah, I think Everton are a real tidy side, but I can't back them with these odds. I'm going to go for Newcastle to spring a surprise.
Lukaku is top of the list in terms of the betting. 10-11 to score a goal in this match, Ron. Is he one of those who you'd like to be backing every time he plays?
Well, I mean, his track record last year was, I think he got 17, didn't he, for West Brom? Mm. And he didn't start that many, you know. And has he started that many, if any, for Fulham? I'm not sure he has. For Everton?
I'm not sure he has.
So, I mean, he's always worth a bet, but you're only generally going to get, say, 35 to 40 minutes out of him in most games, but if that's, you know, that seems to be in the past. On the game itself, I mean, I don't fancy anybody to go to Goodison on a night match. I think it's always, Everton to me, I don't know, over the years, but to me, in a night match at Goodison, they always seem very, very hard to beat. But there is something about that 4-1. I mean, Newcastle really are a much better side than the results always suggest. When you start going through their players man for man, they've got some good players in there that could play in a lot of big teams. 4-1 would tempt me, but the night factor at Everton. I mean, Everton tossed it off, didn't they, against Fulham? They should have been out of sight. And once again, he's left a lot of them on the bench again, hasn't he? A lot of the key players on the bench. Mm-hmm. You know, drives me up the wall, that.
Yeah.
A competition Everton might well have won.
Yeah.
And he's left, you know, the Barrys and the Jagielkas and a couple of the front players were on the bench. Like, you know, that's stupid to me. But particularly, but bearing in mind they played Wednesday and they've got a game, they don't play again on Monday.
Yeah.
But I think the night factor, playing at night, and they are in form, would just about swear me on Everton, but to use a phrase that Derek's, I wouldn't put anybody off going to the game and having Newcastle at 4-1.
Yeah, he's only played 44 minutes in the Premier League for Everton. He's got a goal, obviously. So that's just one appearance. Robbie, which way would you go on this one? Everton, Newcastle, Monday night game.
I'm going to go Everton 2-1, but I'm going to go Ben Arthur first goal. I think he's been terrific this year. And looking at Newcastle on the counter attack with the players they have, you know, Ben Arthur, Cisse, Gouffran, if, you know, I don't think Gouffran will start. you know, some very, very good players on the counter-attack with Kabay feeding the pass. It, you know, all depends on team news, but I'd go Bernard for first goal, Everton 2-1.
That is 140. He's throwing out some bets today, isn't he, old Robbie? 140-1.
He's trying to get it won by Christmas. That's what he's trying to do.
By Halloween, at this rate.
By Saturday.
Hey, on that one, on Newcastle.
Yeah.
Did you see the Daily Mirror with Keith Gillespie?
Yeah,
£7 million quid, man.
That is. What was it, 3.5 million when he was at Blackburn, I read, or something?
I remember. Like, well, I remember. I grew up with him, didn't I? We were roommates for three years. It's in my club today, and you know the amount of bookies, pens, and place pop bets, and we're in our room. Was incredible, but
what's he doing now?
Million.
I bet you none of the pens worked. They never do, do they?
That is unbelievable, though, isn't it?
What's the odds on that, Derek?
it's some. I mean, not the only footballer either, obviously. Please remember, gamble responsibly.
I know a couple of people who act as whose job it is to
do the bets,
to get the bets for footballers. Mm-hmm. And dear me, the money they talk about, dear me, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, there's a strange world away from bookmakers in betting, isn't there, Derek, which we haven't got time to go into now, but the figures are mind-boggling, to say the least. I guess, you know, it's the same old thing, whatever, you know, it's having a lot of money and a lot of time at your disposal, isn't it, I suppose.
Yes.
Aston Villa versus Manchester City, 3 p.m. kickoff this one on Saturday. Aston Villa 5-1, Man City 8-15, 16-5 the price for the draw in this one. The reason I mentioned at the start about having your pants pulled down is because I was quietly confident that over 4.5 goals would land in the Villa Tottenham game, and it was 13-2. I thought decent, you know, I really fancied it. They win 4-0. He's clean through on goal. Vertonghen pulls his shorts down and the referee misses a blatant penalty. That's why I was talking through my pocket, of course. Hopefully they won't have any such problems at home to Manchester City. But a tough game for them this, Robbie. We've said a few times, haven't we, that Villa do seem to be a completely different team away from home. It's something that Derek's backed over and over again. When they have to make,
you know,
the,
what,
make the game...
By the way, you know that stat that Derek comes up with? I've never checked it. But I'm not too sure Derek doesn't get a bit confused with the Martin O'Neill era, you know. Have they got that good away record? I know they won at Liverpool last year.
If you look at the last... I mean, obviously, we're spanning the summer. They've only lost once in the last six Premier League fixtures, and that was away at Chelsea when they lost 2-1 at the start of this season.
And they were unlucky.
They won 3-1 at Arsenal, 2-2 at Wigan, 2-1 at Norwich, 1-0 at Norwich this season, of course. 3-1 at Stoke, 2-1 at Reading last year.
I rest my case, Ronaldo.
I mean, obviously, there's some losses in there as well. They got spanked 8-0 by Chelsea. Beat Liverpool 3-1. but it does look better than the home form, though. Three
That's
straight defeats at home.
Yeah.
In fact, there's only three wins at home since December of last year. I mean, is it because they just can't make the game as easy? They're just much better suited to hitting teams on the break. Is it that simple?
It might be. I don't see them as a team that... All right. The one player that it does do much better away from home, I think, is Zach Bonlahor. I think he's the one that maybe benefits more by playing away from home, gets a lot more space behind defenders to run into, and whereas home he's receiving the ball and turning with it a lot, which is not a great forte of his. I didn't think they got much of an away record or much of an home record, to be honest. You know. And I'll tell you what, on this one, City, I think, traditionally got some good results, I think, at Villa Park. I'm pretty sure they have. Even in the Stuart Pearce area and things like that. So I can't see any other result than City, who looked to all of a sudden to have found their game. They will beat them quite easily.
They won 1-0 there last time, Tevez goal. They won 1-0 the year before that, a Lescott goal. Just have a look previously to that. They were beaten the year before that. But yeah, they haven't been beaten too many times. Well, I mean, in all... Derek, Dave, they've got a good record. They've won 6 of the last 7 Premier League matches with Villa. A total of 5 goals scored in the last 4, though, so it's pretty generally pretty tight games. And as we know, I mean, Villa Villa put that clean sheet record to bed, but the statisticians are still saying, well, it's still 13 at home without a clean sheet now. So they get rid of one stat and then they lump with another one. Yeah. So, I mean, they're not likely to keep a clean sheet against City, though, are they? It's fair to say.
No, they're not. And I mean, City were outstanding against United. You know, is it back to the City of old, the City that won the title? You know, it might well be. They could open a big gap up at the top if they find their form. But they're long odds on, and they've got a game, and they haven't got a great away record recently. I think they've only won 3 of their last 10 top flight matches away from home. And they're playing Bayern Munich on Wednesday. You know, do you want to take short odds about the away side? Yes, you do. Because City will marmalise Villa.
There's that.
No, I'm going to back them to win. They haven't got Benteke, by the way, Bill.
No, they haven't. No, he's out.
You know, and that's he's their main man. We all know that.
How long's the airport, Derek?
4 weeks, apparently.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
So, well, enough. The other kid that came on scored, didn't he?
Yeah, Kozak. And Agbonlahor looks to be in decent nick, doesn't he? But but you know, it is obviously a very strong defence in Man City, who keep clean sheets for fun. Robbie is using that marmalised word again. It's an absolute belter. Villa Man City, which way do you...
Well, obviously, you have to check the team news before placing the bet, but if Negredo starts, I'll go Negredo first, or Villa to get beat 2-0.
You are putting these back. Can I just put in there quickly? But you know, in the Villa to Aston Villa to score, yes or no? Right, what do you think is more likely? You'd have to say no, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
11-8.
Jeez.
Aston Villa not to score.
Without Benteke.
What a bet that is.
It does seem a bit big, doesn't it, that? 11-8 not to score.
I'm looking in your head. Aston Villa to score. Yes, 8-15. No, 11-8.
Yeah, looks
that
good.
That is ridiculous.
They can't be 2-1 on to score, can they?
So what a City to win to nothing.
I'm just looking at that, actually. City to win to nil is 8-5.
Oof.
That looks big as well, doesn't it?
Dear me, what's going on there?
Kept 3 clean sheets in the last 4 Premier League away games. I mean, if Benteke was playing, you'd be a bit worried about it, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But yeah, without him playing, obviously the last 2 games, as I've already mentioned, were 1-0 wins for Man City away from home. So everything's in your favour, pretty much, really. There, your bet there, Robbie. 2-0 to Manchester City with Negredo scoring first. Can you come on? 22-1, that's measly for your standard today.
Playing safe, are you, Savage?
Fulham Cardiff next, 21-20 Fulham, 12-5 the draw, 13-5 the price for Cardiff. In terms of their league positionings, Fulham in the bottom 3, 18th position, 4 points from their 5 games so far. Cardiff just a point better off in 16th position. Fulham winning in midweek against Everton, which we've already mentioned. This isn't necessarily a game that everyone's going to be clamouring to see. But Cardiff have got a little bit of a worry on their hands all of a sudden, Derek, haven't they? After that great result against Man City, they've only picked up one more win. That was away at Accrington Stanley. Drew with Everton, drew with Hull, lost to Tottenham, lost to West Ham in the League Cup, of course. They came back from 2 down, but were pipped right near the end. Odin Wingie scoring, by the way, for Cardiff. Fulham haven't been fantastic either, to be fair. I mean, who wins this one?
Cardiff, big price. Fulham, I just can't have Fulham. No, nearly even money, virtually. Fulham, who'd back them? No, I'm not getting worked up about the midweek defeat of Everton in the League Cup. I've learned not to trust League Cup results. And Cardiff, you know, each time I've seen them, the results haven't been going their way, and it's no shame to lose to Tottenham, by the way. But you just sense there's better to come from them. You know, they're just one of those teams you just know when they find their feet, you'll get some decent results. So I'm going to be on their side. I think 13-5 to beat a Fulham side that will probably stay in the bottom 3 in my eyes. I think that's a great bet.
Ronnie, we talk about Villa's lack of clean sheets. What about this one? Fulham have only kept 1 clean sheet in 17 games at Craven Cottage. That was against Stoke in February of this year. So I mean, you know, likely to concede a goal to Cardiff on that basis, aren't they?
Possibly, but I tell you what, they've got. If you look, you would think in games like this, Berbatov and Bent, who both scored in midweek, you would think they would be capable of nicking a goal or two between them, wouldn't you?
Yes.
So on that basis alone, I'll go for a Fulham win. I'll go for a Fulham win. I mean, not very often I'm going to be saying that this year, but I think the goal scorers on the mark in midweek will be on the mark again this weekend. I fancy Fulham to win it maybe 2-1. Make both goals at both ends, as you say, but I think they've got some firepower in there to beat not, they won't beat the best, but I think they'll beat some of the particularly at home, some of the teams that are around them.
Yeah, Fulham to win 2-1 is 8-1. Robbie, I mean, they probably need to win this one, Fulham, don't they?
Yeah.
Really, the pressure will be start to mount on Martin. Yeah, I think he's already the favourite to go
out. Yeah, I think in one paper today it says he could be gone in October if the results don't go well. So I think that'd be a bit harsh, to be fair. But I'll go Fulham to win this game. I agree with Ron. I'll go 1-0 Fulham.
Yeah, he's a 9-4 favourite to be the next Premier League manager to leave. Chris Hughton's 5-2, Alan Pardew 9-2, then a jump up to 8-1 for Ian Holloway. Hull take on West Ham in the East Riding of Yorkshire, as they call it. 13-10, the Tigers, 11-5, the draw. West Ham are priced up at 15-8. League positionings then, Hull City are 11th, 7 points from the 5 games. West Ham are 15th with 5 points from their 5 games. West Ham, just goals, obviously, is the main problem for them in the Premier League. We said in the midweek version of this podcast that although they scored 2 last weekend in the Premier League, they were kind of fortunate. One was a massive deflection and one was a penalty, which is fortunate or not, however you look at it. You can't see this one being a particularly high-scoring game, can you, Robbie? But it's a game both will target, won't they, as a win in their quest to stay up.
Yeah, I thought Hull last week at Newcastle were fantastic. Yeah. Luko, I think he's a fine player. It was a fantastic finish. Robbie Brady getting a goal. He was my, you know, one to watch on 6-0-6 this season. Brucey, great guy. And he'll get his team, you know, fight the fighting spirit. So I think they'll beat West Ham. West Ham's biggest problems, as I highlighted on Match of the Day, is that centre-forward position. They can't bounce the ball off anybody. You know, they are lucky not to have Carroll down in, you know, and Jarvis. Obviously, can't put the balls into the box with no big centre-forward there. So I'll go with a Hull to nil. I think 1-0 Hull, and I'd go with do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go with Danny Graham to get the goal. I think just because
he's due one, isn't he?
So if that comes in, them odds, the way he's, you know, shoots, it should be about 1 million to 1.
It should be really, but it won't be, will it?
I'll go Danny Graham 1-0 Hull.
28-1. That is, I mean, that scoreline, Ron, kind of the stats would back up a 1-0 win or a low scoring game. West Ham's 2 away games, 0-0 at Newcastle, 0-0 at Southampton. Hull's home games, 1-1 versus Cardiff and a 1-0 win versus Norwich. It'd be amazing. I mean, I know West Ham also scored 3 in midweek, so they have scored 5 goals in 2 games. But you'd be surprised to see this as a goal fest, wouldn't it?
Well, I think Big Sam thinks away from home no score's better than a win. Yeah. I could see them going there. I could see it having no goals all over. With them just sitting like 9 behind the ball and what they will do, Hull have got plenty of pace in the team, so I think Sam would ask his team to defend deep and whether they've got enough firepower then to make use of set plays and stuff like that. I think, yeah, if I was going for a winner, I'd go for Hull, but I think the most likely result is a draw. And a no-scoring draw at that.
I'll check the odds on that. Derek, obviously not impressed by West Ham, but, you know, at least in a sense, whether you're impressed by them or not, at least you know what their MO is.
Well, you do, and they're great. The punters, they're great because you know exactly what you're going to get. Sam Allardyce will send his team out in matches like this. Whatever happens, don't lose. If we win, great, obviously, but don't lose. That, you've seen that in 2 fixes away from home already. And if you get a 0-0 draw, he'll be absolutely made up. And sod the poor people who paid that much to go and watch them. I'm looking at the both teams to score market and they're equally priced, 10-11 yes, 10-11 no. Well, that's insane because the no market, you know, screams as though that's a certainty. I'm like Ron, if I was going to go for a winner, it would be Hull because they'll be the only team trying to win. But I think it's got a draw written all over it.
Yeah. The next game, penultimate one we'll look at, is Manchester United at home to West Brom. Man United 1-4, 4-1 the draw, West Brom 9-1.
Wouldn't it be great if we could have a failed manager of both clubs to predict this game for us? Do you know anybody? Do you know any failed manager of both clubs? He got the sack of both clubs.
He's not biting, is he?
Yeah, that right.
I'm just trying to think. Yeah.
No,
I had to be sure of my facts. Yeah, there was one year when I was manager of both teams that we did drop out the top four. Top four, Robbie, by the way, is a long way above where Leicester used to finish.
Hey, Ronald! All right, Ronald.
Just testing. And the only game they ever show on MUTV where Man U have lost a game was against West Brom.
There you go.
In an 8-goal thriller.
What about the... where are Man United now then, Ron? Yeah, they had a terrible, terrible afternoon against Manchester City.
Yeah.
They are definitely in Manchester, Robbie. You're right about that. They looked like they could get beat in the first half against Liverpool, but then they got the goal and it settled them right down. Is there a bit of nerves about Man United at the minute?
Well, yeah, there's a bit of uncertainty. I mean, all the sort of half comments going around about the manager, which is stupid, really, because that's not even a consideration, might have some sort of knock-on effect. But I think that might have just, as you say, might have just steadied them down in midweek. And they've got people to come back in the team. And West Brom traditionally, over the last few years, never get a result there, do they? They might have had, I'm not sure they had a draw, when Roy Hodgson was manager, possibly. But, I think it's a banker home win.
Yeah.
I think it's one before they start at West Brom. Now they look up the fixture list and think, well, we go there, get a cup of tea and come home. You know, it's one of those games.
Yeah.
They should have enough firepower. The interesting is there any likelihood of Van Persie returning?
I was just looking at that, actually. They said not, didn't they? They said he was...
That kid, you know, Hernandez must be a little bit gutted. Like,
it's a strange one, isn't it, that one?
You know, he's about fifth in the pecking order.
Yeah.
Every time he plays, he seems to score.
Yeah.
And he plays with a smile on his face and don't kick over any traces at all or anything, does he? You know,
and everyone says he's great in training, he's a lovely lad. I wonder what it is. Why wouldn't he get a game?
Well,
Van Persie's fit, you're not going to get a game. You know,
yeah, I understand that, but I think there's more likelihood of him scoring than, shall we say, Welbeck or somebody like that, isn't there?
Yeah.
Whatever team they play, I think they'll beat West Brom weekend. Yeah.
And Rooney, even against City, he was probably the one shining light for Manchester United, and he looked well up for it against Liverpool as well. His price to score is 8-11, still bigger than Robin van Persie, who probably won't play. So that might be a touch of value. Rooney to score in a United win is 5-4, which might not be bad.
That's a good price, isn't it?
You like that, Derek?
Well, yeah, if Rooney's 8-11 to score, right, if he does score, West Brom ain't going to win, are they? If West Brom are going to win, it's going to be a 1-0. West Brom are going to win 2-1 or 3-2 there. So you're getting 5-4 about an 8-11 poke in my eyes there. That looks a decent bet. United are struggling, as I've been expecting them to do for the last three seasons. And I'm not getting worked up about the result in midweek against Liverpool. I thought they were outclassed for long periods. But West Brom are awful. I just cut 9-1. No price at all, is it, for West Brom? So I'd probably go with United to win 2-0, but I like that Rooney bet. You know, Rooney to score and United to win 5-4.
Robbie.
Man United 3-0. I'm just going to go under the tunnel. Man United 3-0.
7-1. It's a little. I've never heard this, guys. I don't know why I've never heard it. But some information I was reading about West Brom. Obviously, they're called the Baggies, aren't they? That's in there. I never knew they were called the Throstles.
That's their proper nickname.
Really? Dropped then?
Well, I'll tell you, what happened. Apparently, 200 years ago, they still playing in them long shorts, and the fans themselves started saying the Baggies. That's where that's from.
Oh,
but
really?
The Throstles, even at the ground, there's a big thrush on top of the scoreboard there.
What was it called? They did a lot.
The Throstles.
That's the proper name.
I thought you said the Fossils. And
no, that's Ron.
Hey, that's Ron, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Moses, Robson, Tony Brown. Actually, you probably would have got a game when Wayne Hughes wasn't fit.
Hey, Del. Just think. Moses, Robson, and Mario Falcone, somebody from Geordie Shaw. Where?
He's let it go.
Let's go fishing.
I'll edit that out. Very quick aside. Remember the last game of the season last year? 5-5 between these two. Remember?
Yeah. No
offers. 200-1 for 4-4. But
I forgot all about that.
You could do. It was the worst game I've ever seen. I was at the game. It was awful.
Yeah, it was a very strange
one. Like watching
a
testimonial match.
Yeah. Final game we'll look at then is Southampton versus Crystal Palace. Save the best best to last. 1-2 Saints, 6-1 Palace, 3-1 the price for the draw. More Southampton, great result last week against against Liverpool, of course. Palace at second bottom with 3 points from their five games so far. All three of Southampton's league goals have come from set pieces this season. Only side not to score in open play so far. Crystal Palace have gone 3 hours without a Barclays Premier League goal. So it's another one, really, where you expect a low number of goals, Derek. Hopefully they'll upset the form book, if you like.
Well, Lee, Palace are not much different to win at Southampton than West Brom are to win at Man United. I mean, you know, surely Palace are more likely to win here. 6-1, I think it's a big price. All right, yeah, Southampton, Liverpool were there for the taking last week and Southampton did their job brilliantly, but they haven't been that impressive, have they, in other games? What I'm saying is there's no reason that Southampton should be as short as they are. They've been short every week, the Saints. The bookies are expecting an awful lot from them, it seems to me. They're taking too much on trust. And okay, if 6-1 Palace is a bit too sort of adventurous for your liking, Palace plus a gold star, nearly 2-1, 17-10. That looks too big to me. I think the bookies have read some of these fixtures wrong this week.
So Southampton's home form has been a 1-1 draw against Sunderland, 0-0 against West Ham, and then they beat Bristol City in the League Cup. The same team, incidentally, who put Palace out 2-1 in the previous round. So a bit of collateral form there for you, if you like. Ron, so 8 points from the five games, Southampton, seventh position. So yeah. You know, they're having a good little season. I mean, yeah, it's not yeah. amazing, but
no,
you know.
No, but they'll be hard to beat. They'll be efficient, and I think they'll win this 1-0. I can't see Palace scoring, and they probably won't get a bucket full of goals, but a 1-0 or a 2-0. Southampton, yeah.
11-2 for 1-0. It's the same price for 2-0. Robbie, finally, which way would you go on Southampton?
Yeah, I'll go Southampton. I think they look decent this season, so I'll go Southampton.
Let's get a bet of the week then, shall we? None of them landed last week.
Stoke to win 2-0.
Get the price for that at home to Norwich.
I'm going to nip in with my bet. I'm going to go, it's an odd one, Ronald Moan, but I'm going for him because it's a certainty. Aston Villa not to score 11-8 against Manchester City.
Meow.
What was it, 11-8, don't you say?
Yeah, Villa not to score against City, 11-8.
Probably to score first, 2-1 first.
Actually, that was the 100-1.
No, I'll tell you what it was. Was it not Ben Arfa to score first?
Yeah, it was.
No.
I think it was, you know. Palinho one was 100-1. Ron, yours is 8-1. The 2-0 Stoke is 8-1.
Like it.
Brilliant. Thank you, chaps.
Cheers,
have a great weekend, and we'll speak next week. Thanks, Ron. Cheers, Robbie. Yeah. Just before we go, Derek, you've been beavering away with colleagues of yours, and you've set up a new betting website, haven't you?
Yes, yeah. I mean,
which has got women with sexy outfits on the front. Yeah, which is the main draw.
Yeah, none of them in my house, unfortunately. All on the website. Yeah, it's a betting website. It's not where you have a bet. It's for punters to read. You know, real good betting articles. Got some good writers in. Big Ron will be doing a spin. Sam Bowles, remember him, the old England player, failed punter. He's got some hilarious tales to tell. Mike, my big brother, Jimmy McGovern, creator of Cracker, and a former gambling addict. He'll be doing a regular column too. And me and my pal John Shaw, the funniest writer in Britain. So it's a great betting website. It's called BetLikeAPro.co.uk.
The big news is there's a sneaky suspicion that you may be cajoled into joining Twitter.
Yes,
this is the big news. It's off the back of the website.
Exactly.
Wow,
yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I know. I mean, I've resisted the temptation for so long, but yeah. So all these people who've been bad-mouthing me, you're going to get it back.
Oh, you'll be chucked off Twitter within about a week for being a troll.
It'll be tremendous.
Cheers, Derek. We'll check it out. BetLikeAPro.co.uk. Have a look at it, and you'll see all the stuff Derek was talking about there. Thanks,
Fantastic.
Mate. Speak to you next week.
Thanks, Lee.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.